Again, we want to come to the Word of God. First of all, in the book of James, New Testament, book of James, and chapter number 4. Book of James and chapter 4. And reading from verse number 13. Book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. There's the Word of God, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And then across to the epistle to the Galatians, please. Another New Testament book, Galatians in chapter number 4. Galatians in chapter 4. And reading at verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. As the Word of God, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that is, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption or the position of sons. And then finally in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading at verse number 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, 2 says the Word of God, for he saith, that is God says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, last week, one evening, Tim here spoke on the subject of time. And I just want to pick up that subject again this evening and speak to you on the subject of time. And the first thing we're going to think about from the pen of James the Apostle is the shortness of time. And then we're going to think about the dividing of time. That is the moment when the Son of God was born into the world. Says the Apostle, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us who are under the law. And there I discover this most significant event in the history of the world, so significant that it divided time, as we're going to see. And then lastly, to think about the acceptable time, the opportune time. Tim's been underlining the importance of seizing the opportunity of salvation whilst you can. You know, the Lord Jesus was on his last journey up to Jerusalem. As he passed through Jericho that day, he would never pass that way again. This was his last journey. He was going up to the cross. This was the last opportunity that blind Bartimaeus would have had to get his sight back and to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, could we just underline again this evening that God has given you this moment, this opportunity, this acceptable time when you can receive his Son as your Savior. He doesn't promise you another time. He doesn't promise you another opportunity. He has given you this opportunity, and that's why you should seize upon it. So in James chapter 4, we find here that James is writing to people that we're preparing for the future. Well, the Bible's got nothing against people making plans. I'm sure you've got your plans for tomorrow. You've maybe got your plans for next week. Or maybe even like these people that James is speaking to. They were planning for a year ahead. And there's a young couple in the tent tonight, and they're planning for their wedding next February. No, there's nothing wrong about planning for the future, dear friend. The trouble of these people that James was writing was this: they didn't bring God into their plans. They didn't say, well, you know, if it's the will of God and we shall live, then we'll do this or that or the next thing. Now, you know, dear friend, you might get your plans for tomorrow, but you might never fulfill them. You see, it's only if God wills that you'll be alive tomorrow to be able to fulfill your plans. And so, James, you know, these people, they were business people, you know. They were wanting to make money. And so they were saying, well, you know, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there for a year. And we'll buy and sell and we'll get gain. Whereas James has to tap them on the shoulder, as it were, and say, hang on a minute. You're planning for next year and you don't even know what the remaining hours of this day holds for you. And the Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. And then James asks the question, for what is your life? Not so much the quality of your life, but that would be an interesting question to consider. What is your life? What does life mean to you? What are you trying to get out of life? That would be interesting. We don't want to go down that road tonight. But James is thinking about not so much the quality of our life, but he's thinking about the length of our life, our lifespan. And he's saying, you know, what is your lifespan? And he gives us the answer. It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. I don't know if you've ever, in the early hours of the morning, perhaps a nice summer's day, you're perhaps on holiday, and perhaps you're looking down the valley, the river running down the valley, and hanging over the valley, there's a mist. Yeah? The morning mist. You've all seen that, haven't you? Even hanging over the fields in the summer months, there's been hot weather, and in the morning there's a mist that's hanging, a fog that's hanging over the field. And then, 2 or 3 hours later, you look out the window, and bang, you can see the valley is clear as can be. The mist is gone. It's vanished away. You know, that's just your life. It's just like a mist. It's just like a vapor. We're only here for a little time, dear friend. Now, they tell us that there's more centenarians in Britain than there's ever been. There are now thousands of people who are 100 and plus. Well, that's would there were more. But dear friend, whether you live until you're 100 or live until you're 117, I think the oldest person is tonight, your life is still just like a vapor. It's a little time. Friend, you're not here forever. Tell me, are you prepared? Are you prepared for what lies beyond this life? Are you prepared for that moment when you're going to leave this world? And none of us know. We all know when we come into the world, yeah? That way. We all know the day we were born. We can even tell the minute we were born. You look at your birth certificate. It will tell you the minute, the hour, the minute, the place, all the details. We all know when we come into the world. But there's none of us know when we're going to leave it. Now, don't make the mistake that so many in Britain or England are making tonight. And they're thinking they've got plenty of time. We don't have plenty of time, dear friends. None of us are guaranteed another moment. None of us. And that's why it's important to think seriously about your relationship with God. As you sit in this tent tonight, are you simply believing on Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you believe about him. And you know all about his birth, and you know all about his life and the miracles he did, and perhaps you've read the Bible, perhaps you went to Sunday school, perhaps you've heard all this and the Easter story about his death, burial and resurrection. There's lots of people know about the Lord Jesus, but they don't know him. Do you know him? Are you sitting in this meeting tonight simply depending on the Son of God? Believing that when he died on the cross, he died there on account of your sin. And there's been a moment when you realize that I'm the sinner for whom Christ died. And you've got a change of mind towards God about your sin. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Dear friend, has there been that moment? Now, I'm not asking you, has there been a moment when you were christened or confirmed or took communion? No. I'm asking you, has there been a moment when you have received Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior and Lord, and you sit in this meeting with the assurance that you're saved, your sins are forgiven, you have eternal life, and if you die now in your seat, your soul and spirit will go right into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Well, that's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you this. If I was to die now, why would I wait to go preaching the gospel, breathe your last? Why wouldn't that be good? If I was to die now and this body fall to the grass, you know, all that you'd be looking at is just a tent of clay in which I lived. The Dan Gillis that you knew, he's gone. I'll be gone. I'll be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I assume that in this company tonight, I'm probably nearer that point than all the rest of you. I'm past the 80 years in town. I'm past the 90 years. I'm on my way to 90. And so time's running out. But I tell you this, I know that when that moment comes, I'm going to immediately be into the presence of the Lord. Dear friend, time is short. But you know, wasn't it a wonderful moment in the history of this world when God sent his Son into this world? Where did he send him from? He must have existed before he came into this world, and he did. God sent his Son from heaven. He sent his Son from the very throne of heaven that he shared with his Son. And says Paul, when the fullness of the time was come, just at the exact moment that God had planned, and just at the exact time and the right circumstances in this world, God sent forth his Son. How did he come? or says Paul, he was born of a woman. That statement testifies to the true manhood of Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman. He was born from the womb of a virgin, a young woman who had never known a man, a young woman who had conceived by the Holy Spirit's power. And the Lord Jesus was born of Mary, his mother, born of a woman. You know, so significant was that moment of time when Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling bands and laid him in a cattle trough. So significant, so important is that moment that it eclipses every other moment in the history of this world or any event that's yet to come. And every time you write the date, 18th of June, 2026, I'm testifying to the fact that 2026 years ago, the Son of God was born into the world. You see, he divided the time into BC and AD. Right. Every event that's ever happened or ever shall happen is all measured in relation to this tremendous moment when God sent his Son into the world. And so history is measured in either BC or AD. Eh? So there's the fact of his birth, that significant fact. We've learned about how he came. Was your birth planned 700 years before it happened? Why not? Are we back in 1326? Well, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ was prophesied over 700 years before it happened. And Isaiah the prophet tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. You know, Isaiah prophesied how the Son of God would come. He'd be born of a virgin, pure and holy infant, the only sinless infant that's ever been born into this world is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But not only that, Micah the prophet, who again lived about almost 700 years before Christ, he prophesied where he would be born. You see, there was two Bethlehems, two cities called Bethlehem in the land of Israel. But Micah the prophet, he pinpoints it. Bethlehem Ephrathah, the very place where the Son of God was born. So it was prophesied how he would be born, and it was prophesied where he would be born. And all the prophets prophesied why he would be born. They testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. And Isaiah and other prophets spoke in detail about the crucifixion, about the sufferings of Jesus Christ hundreds of years before it happened. So in Galatians chapter 4, we have the dividing of time. And what was the reason for the Son of God being born and coming into this world and lived a sinless life? Why, Paul tells us that he might redeem us. What does it mean to redeem something? It means to obtain its release by paying the demanded price. You see, dear friend, we've been hearing about sin tonight. And the sad thing is this, that every one of us is born in sin, and we're shaping in iniquity. And every one of us has sinned against God. And you know, we're bound by a debt, the debt of sin. We cannot pay it. Doesn't matter how hard we try, do good and help others. That's all very good. But that cannot clear you. And that cannot obtain your release from the righteous judgment of God on account of your sins. So the Son of God came from heaven, and he came into this world, and he grew up in this world, and the reason why, the main reason was that he might go to the cross and there shed his precious blood, give his life, that he might obtain an eternal redemption for you and I, that he might redeem fallen, guilty sinners, enslaved by sin, bound by the prospect of the judgment of God on account of our sin. Jesus Christ, dear friend, tonight, on that cross he suffered. He paid to God a price that was more than enough to meet the guilt of the whole world. He shed his precious blood. Says Peter, writing to Christians, "For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your empty manner of life, received by perdition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ." My dear friend, tonight, I want to tell you that God can redeem that soul of yours. He can deliver you, and he can forgive you of your sins tonight, because his Son suffered and bled and died for these sins upon the cross. Says Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, he says, "Concerning the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." What are you saying tonight? Are you among the redeemed? Can you sing "Redeemed"? How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by his infinite mercy, God's child and forever I am. Friend, are you amongst the redeemed? Are you amongst the forgiven? Or are you still among the lost? You know, you can be redeemed tonight. You can be delivered from the consequences of your sin, from the penalty of your sin, eternal separation from God in hell in a lake of fire. And not only that, delivered from the power of sin, the dominion of sin. You can have redemption tonight. Oh, you say, "Preacher, how can I get this wonderful redemption? How can I know that I'm redeemed?" Well, you've been hearing. It's by simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus. The moment you trust Christ, you're redeemed. But not only that, God gives you the position of sons and daughters. And that means I've got a wonderful inheritance. I'm an heir of God. That's why I don't envy Prince William. He's going to inherit a great kingdom and inherit estates and all the rest of it. I don't envy him at all. Not a bit of it. I tell you, I've got an inheritance that far outweighs and far outshines any royalty in this world, and all these sheiks and all that across here in the Middle East with their billions and what have you, and Elon Musk with his trillions and what have you. I tell you, dear friend, I'm richer than what they are. Far richer. I've an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, will never fade away. An eternal inheritance. You know why? Because I'm a son of God. Not the son of God. I'm a son of God. A son of God. I've been redeemed. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God. I've a wonderful inheritance reserved up there in heaven. Oh, I tell you, you know, you can have this tonight. Someone, this sounds too good to be true. I want you to tell me, dear friend, it is good and it is true. You can have it. I said, oh, I'll have to think about it. Ah, that's a dangerous thing. How many have sat in meetings like this and God has spoken to them and they realize, yes, I need to be redeemed, I need to be saved, but not tonight. Not tonight. Maybe sometime later. I've got too much to say to. I'll have to think about this. Oh, I mean to get saved, but not tonight. You know, the old preachers used to say this, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There are people in hell tonight that once sat where you sat, where you're sitting tonight. I could rhyme off names. There are people in hell tonight that once heard the gospel, and they heard the challenge of it. And they felt their need. But you know what they said? Not tonight. No, not yet. Maybe someday, but not yet. You know, they say procrastination is a thief of time. Dear friend, it's a thief of eternity. Putting it off and putting it off and saying, well, someday I'll get saved, but not tonight. And that's why the Bible says, and I finish, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not in an hour's time. Because God doesn't promise you that. But He's given you this moment. Time passed. You cannot it recall. Time present you have. Employ the moment small. Time future is not and may never be. Time present is the only time for thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, shall we pray. Our Father.